begin in Hebrews chapter 5 today. We're going to walk through just verses 1 through 4 and talk about the requirements of the Levitical priesthood. It says this, For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men and things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. In other words, in order to be a priest, you had to be a man. And this is important because we recognize, of course, that the Son of God took on human flesh so that he could come and intercede for us as a man. He was taken from among men, and he's appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God. In other words, they were placed as a go-between, as an intercessor between God and man. Why then is Jesus our great high priest? Well, not only is he man, but he is God himself, the eternal Son of God. And therefore, he is the perfect intercessor between man and God, for he himself is man and God. But these Levitical priests, they were appointed in order to do this, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And as you look at the book of Leviticus, and you have all these different things, burnt offerings, you have grain offerings, you have peace offerings, you have sin offerings, guilt offerings. And in particular to our passage, we have something called the Day of Atonement performed by the high priests. Throughout the year, this is a quote from J.E. Brenneman, throughout the year were well-established rituals to beg pardon for one's known and unknown sin. That's in Leviticus 4 and chapter 5. However, the sacred ritual space, including the sanctuary, tent of meeting, and altars, as well as the sacramental role of the priesthood itself, all became contaminated by the contagion of sins not accounted for by the various ongoing liturgies and sacrifices. Even the people as a whole suffered the effects of sins unaccounted for and wrongs unforgiven that piled on defilement, kneading, and treaty. And he mentions later on, a fast, therefore, was called to underscore the seriousness of the day. The high priest removed his ornamental garments, bathed, and put on white linen. He then sacrificed a bull as a sin offering for himself and the other priests, saving the blood for the rite of purification. He sprinkled the blood upon the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's covering, to effect the removal of any sin. It was a very serious day. And then, of course, they would have a scapegoat as well. There was these great pictures of the seriousness of sin and the needing of the shedding of blood to forgive sins. And all of these were ceremonial, pointing forward to the great high priest who would come and sacrifice himself. And this is obviously contrasted with Jesus, who would come and not have to offer a bull for his own sins because he himself was sinless. Verse 2, another thing that the priest would have to do is he would need to deal gently with the ignorant and misguided. He's not indifferent to sin, yet he is also not outraged and impatient with people about their sin. He's dealing with them gently as they're ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. As we just stated, he understands others because he himself is a man and is touched with the feelings of their weakness. The problem with this, though, is seen in the next section in verse 3. And because of it, he's obligated to offer sacrifices for sins. As for the people, so also for himself. Leviticus 16:6 says this, then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. Contrast this now, note this, we've already mentioned it, but Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27 says this, speaking of Jesus, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. He does not need to offer a sacrifice for himself. Why? Because he's sinless. He's the spotless lamb. And he doesn't need to do it daily and continually for others because he did it once and for all. It is finished. Lastly, what else is a requirement for a priest? Verse 4, it says this, and no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. In other words, God chooses the man. He set aside Aaron. He set aside the Levitical line. He is the one who chooses. And of course, we know he chose Jesus Christ as he was baptized, he says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is the one whom God approves of as the final sacrifice, as his Son, the one in whom he is well pleased, as a sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, he is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the great ultimate high priest. No other man intercedes for us but Jesus Christ. He is our great intercessor. He is the one we must go through. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the great high priest.